Hello there. Welcome to this episode of Force Ghost Conversations. This is your host, Anthony King, and this week I'm going to take a deep dive look into the recent Vanity Fair article and photoshoot highlighting the latest Star Wars shows and movies. Before we get started, I'm inviting you to join the conversation with us. We can be found on Twitter at Force Ghost Pod. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok just by searching Force Ghost Conversations. We look forward to connecting with you on those platforms. Also, please be sure to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast on your listening site of choice. And without further ado, it's time to gather around the campfire for some Force Ghost Conversations. Okay, everyone, we are back. And as I alluded in the preamble, most of the news that we're going to talk about or would talk about during our Cloud City Gossip section will be pushed off towards the main portion of the show where we're going to be discussing that recent Vanity Fair article that came out this past week, highlighting some of the important updates and news about the TV series that are coming out this year, and a little bit of an update about the movies that are on Lucasfilm slate. So with that, let's talk about some of the other news that has taken place in the Star Wars galaxy in our appropriately dubbed segment, Cloud City Gossip. Now, first, Star Wars Celebration is next week, everybody. Be sure to follow Force Ghost Conversations on all of our social media channels to stay up to date with the latest news and announcements. So that's Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok. We'll be on it all. So be sure to check us out. If you're also in the Anaheim area, attending Star Wars Celebration or just hanging out around town, please be sure to meet us at the podcast meetup on Thursday, May 26th. The event will take place at the Hilton Anaheim Resort, and it is free and open to everyone. So if you're a fan of podcasts or you're a part of a podcast yourself, come on over and let's have a great time. Look forward to seeing you there. For those going to Star Wars Celebration, a list of Celebration exclusive merchandise has been unveiled. The full list is now on StarWars.com, so be sure to check that out and start planning for what you would like to purchase, because I know I have a list already myself. Also, everyone, guess what? We are just 1 week away from seeing the first two episodes of Obi-Wan Kenobi. The premiere episodes will debut on Disney Plus next Friday, May 27th. So be sure to re-up your Disney Plus subscription if you have not done so. Trust me, you will not want to miss this show. Finally, two new comic series have been announced. Published by Dark Horse Comics, Star Wars Hyperspace Stories and Star Wars Tales from the Rancor Pit will be hitting comic book store shelves later this year. You can look at the cover art for the first issue of these two series on StarWars.com right now. And now onto our main topic for today, a deep dive look at the recent Vanity Fair article and photoshoot. Stay with us, everyone, on the other side of this break then. Okay, everyone, welcome back. Let's get into this very juicy article by Anthony Bresnikan with photography done by the wonderful Annie Leibovitz for this Vanity Fair article that came out this past week titled Star Wars The Rebellion Will Be Televised. Now, basically the main chunk of this article is about highlighting some of those upcoming series that are coming up on Disney Plus, so that being Obi-Wan Kenobi, Andor, Mandalorian Season 3, Ahsoka, The Acolyte, and some nuggets about some other things. So an unannounced show, as well as what's the deal with the movies? What's the deal with that pipeline coming up? So frankly, there's a lot to discuss in this, and let's just get into it. And I really wanted to start off by saying how wonderful the photography work that Annie Leibovitz does throughout the course of this article, I guess, if you want to call it that. I imagine it's much better in person. So if you're one of those people that likes having physical print or like a physical collector copy, go check out your local newsstand probably, or Barnes & Noble, something where they sell magazines nowadays, maybe even your grocery store. I don't know where Vanity Fair you can get it these days. Personally, maybe you can just buy it online, Amazon, and they'll send it to you. That's probably your best bet at this point. Get like a physical copy of these images in your hand, because they're really great. So really the first image I want to highlight here is the trio of Kenobi characters, right? So it starts off with Hayden Christensen's Darth Vader, Moses Ingram star as the Inquisitor Reva, and of course Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan Kenobi. And boy, they just all look great. Reva's got that wonderful Inquisitor lightsaber. Hayden, I mean, you wouldn't know that it's Hayden in the suit, but it's just all the better that you know that he's in there personally. And Ewan McGregor, he is Obi-Wan Kenobi at this point. Come on now. The other photo that I really want to highlight tremendously is if you're on the webpage, it's to the right, but it showcases, first off, Genevieve O'Reilly as Mon Mothma, who portrayed the character in Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. Diego Luna, who is Cassian Andor, also in the Rogue One, and both of those stars will be appearing in the Andor series. Pedro Pascal, also on this page, or I should say in this photograph, in his Mandalorian armor. He is the Mandalorian, Din Djarin. And finally, to the right there, is Rosario Dawson as Ahsoka Tano. Now, this is your lineup, folks, of upcoming Star Wars television series on Disney Plus. Within the article, they start to talk about how, like, you know, the push at Disney for supporting their new streaming initiative that would become Disney Plus was a very important objective for Disney at the time. And then, of course, as Lucasfilm's parent company, it then became important to Lucasfilm as well. And now that we're almost 3 years into Disney Plus, what does this mean for Star Wars? What does it mean for the future of it all? And this article really gets at the heart of that. So I'm going to touch upon some of the big news announcements or key quotes that I thought that were really interesting throughout the course of this piece. But by no means did I cover it all. And I also want to give credit to Anthony Bresnahan and to support his work. So go check out the article online on VanityFair.com, or pick up the next issue wherever this is in your newsstand. So we can really support great journalism, because this is a really great piece overall. It's really well written. The interviews are well done. So I really just want to give those people great shout outs before we get started. So I just want to say that it's really cool that we get to see like past and present coming together with all these characters. And it's a galaxy of heroes and characters and villains standing beside each other. That is this great mythos that is Star Wars, just by looking at these two images alone. It's really cool. So first off, we received confirmation that Andor will premiere later this summer. So my guess will probably be around August, if that's late summer. And The Mandalorian Season 3 will come out in late 2022, early 2023. So hopefully around that Christmas time again. Ahsoka will come out sometime in 2023. And The Acolyte, which is scheduled to, we actually don't know when that's scheduled to come out yet, but it is confirmed to take place about 100 years prior to The Phantom Menace. Now, that's a pretty important distinction there, because a lot of the characters in the Skywalker saga are not alive at that time. So you're going to get largely brand new characters set in the final days of the quote-unquote High Republic era, and we're going to talk a little bit more about The Acolyte later on. However, the article does confirm from Ewan McGregor's mouth himself that his partner, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, will be in the Ahsoka series. I know that was a rumor that wasn't confirmed by Lucasfilm. It was in one of the trade publications, I want to say The Hollywood Reporter. But he confirmed it straight from his mouth, and no one from Lucasfilm denied that in this article. So we're going to take it as a fact now. It's confirmed. Welcome, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, to Ahsoka. So we got some more details about Andor overall, and I really like the approach that they're taking with this story here. So Gabriel Luna describes Andor as a refugee story with desperate people fleeing the Empire at the full force of its power. It's the journey of a migrant, he says. That feeling of having to move is behind the story, very profoundly and very strong. That shapes you as a person. It defines you in many ways and what you are willing to do. I'm fascinated by this quote here. Gabriel Luna is wonderful as a Cassian Andor. And this series is really going to take us on a journey, like from what I understand here. And then the next quote here, Tony Gilroy, who's the showrunner behind this, It's about him being really revolution averse and cynical and lost and kind of a mess. The story begins with the destruction of Andor's birth world, then follows him into adulthood when he realizes he can't run forever. His adopted home will become the base of our whole first season, and we watch that place become radicalized, Gilroy says. Then we see another planet that's completely taken apart in a colonial kind of way. The Empire is expanding rapidly. They're wiping out anybody who's in their way. By Journey's End, Andor's path will be to block theirs. So we're going to see this real journey of someone who's not willing to get involved at all. And then through the course of events, destruction of his home world, he's going to be on the run and he's going to see the terrible things that the Empire is doing. And he's going to make a choice to band with these rebels and become a rebel himself. And that's an important story to Star Wars overall. Of course, it's not the first time we've seen this, very similar to like a Han Solo kind of story in a way, but this is really him seeing like the destruction firsthand and wanting to do that himself. Like Han is different in that case where he doesn't necessarily have that personalized destruction, I would say, at least in terms of him wanting to join the rebellion because he joins it because of his friends, right? Primarily. So I'm just interested to see where that is going. I love that the approach of the journey of a migrant, right? Someone that is trying to find a home somewhere, and he does that with the rebellion, it sounds. So I'm very intrigued by everyone behind the scenes that is putting Andor together. Cassian Andor is one of my favorite characters in Star Wars. I'm going to say that now. I love Diego Luna's, what he brought to the role in Rogue One. As immediately when I saw the movie in the cinema and subsequent times seeing it, that character stood out to me, and he's really important and passionate for the Star Wars galaxy overall. So looking forward to that show entirely. There was a great article, like story within the article about the volume itself and the technology to put together, which is basically how we're able to have all these TV series at the low budget that they are. And the fact that there's a great little tidbit here about James Cameron seeing it and he couldn't really tell the difference. So that's how good the visual technology was. So, you know, amazing. So within the article, we also got confirmation that Lucasfilm did originally intend to make Obi-Wan Kenobi as a movie, and it was supposed to be directed by Oscar nominee Stephen Daldry. If you were involved in the Star Wars news sphere, like maybe 2018, 2017, there were big rumors about Daldry being involved in this project, right? McGregor apparently would have been a producer at this time, giving him more say over the story. And Ewan said that he thought it would have been a story about a broken man, a man who's lost his faith. He says that he's always has a funny line to say, or always seems to be calm and is a good warrior or soldier or whatever. But to see that man come apart and see what gets him back together again, that's where we started. And that's what this series. I highlighted this because not only to confirm that like there were like movies being put together or a movie kind of structure for this before the series came together, was the idea about a man who's lost his faith. And I believe I've talked on this show before that I took, maybe I didn't, but we'll get into that at some point in the future because it's going to be a fun story for those listeners at home. And I basically took a day off work after Solo, A Star Wars Story came out because I was so inspired by that movie and the prospects of what a Kenobi series could be, or actually a movie at the time. And I was like, I want to start a crack at this Kenobi movie. We had no idea that it was coming out. And I just kind of wanted my headcanon to be written out on paper. It's basically fan fiction in a way. So I started my treatment of this story that I would in my head would have been the Kenobi movie, and that was basically what I was centering around, was a man who's lost his faith and has to regain his faith in the Jedi Order and what have you, and then in the Jedi religion. So that I like that it's kind of cool how they were kind of thinking along the same lines for that when I was doing my own show or my own or a script for that. But I stopped after a page and a half, two pages, three pages, something like that. I have a picture of it somewhere because I my computer died that had it on it. I never didn't save it anywhere else. So yeah, I might have to pull that up and read through that. But basically what I was getting at there, sorry to get lost on a tangent there, was I stopped because I didn't want to get too stuck in the potential that, like, my story is the definitive story. I didn't want to speculate too hard about something and then be disappointed if and when a series did come out, which eventually it did, and now we have this wonderful series that's coming to pass that I'm very much looking forward to, and I cannot wait for May 27th for the series to come to pass. It's going to be incredible. Get the tissues ready now, folks. I'm all on board for it. So then we got a quote from Hayden Christensen about becoming Vader, and he said, "A lot of my conversations with Deborah Chow, of course, who's the showrunner, were about wanting to convey this feeling of strength, but also coupled with imprisonment," Christensen says. "There is this power and vulnerability, and I think that's an interesting space to explore." Now, Hayden has been very vocal in this press tour about Kenobi that it's interesting that he got to portray Anakin and just like a tint of Vader, right? So he had to almost recontextualize what his experience is to bring this other character to life in a way. So it's great that he went back and watched like the Clone Wars and Rebels and explored other sources of canon to formulate what is this Vader that is, you know, 9-10 years after Revenge of the Sith and where his viewpoint is coming into the series. And this is really some fertile ground where Hayden really gets to put his real stamp on Vader and what it means to be this trapped person inside the suit. It's really cool. Really cool. We got a little bit of tidbits about the plot for Ahsoka within this article. Filoni said it is definitely driving toward a goal in his mind, as opposed to being little singular adventures. That's what I want the character to be doing, and I think that's what fans want now. They have such a relationship with her. I've only recently started to understand that all of those kids that watch Clone Wars are now a lot older. They're very excited about all the things that they grew up with, as they should be. I'm one of those people that grew up with the Clone Wars. I loved watching it week to week. Ahsoka is one of my favorite characters in all of Star Wars. I love her connections to Anakin, Obi-Wan, and the Jedi Order. Of course, her reemergence in Rebels is fantastic, and I'm really a big fan of what Rosario Dawson has put on for the character thus far in both her appearances in The Mandalorian Season 2 and The Book of Boba Fett. Now, I'm also glad to hear that we're driving to something here, and it seems to line up with what Kathy Kennedy announced at the Disney Investor Day 2020 about when she announced the Ahsoka series, along with the show that's not happening anymore, according to this article, Rangers of the New Republic, right? Where it seemed like The Mandalorian, Book of Boba Fett, Ahsoka, and that subsequent seasons will lead to one major galactic-wide event, whether that what that may be, we have no idea. It probably may involve Thrawn in some way, shape, or form. Maybe something to do with Moff Gideon and the Mandalorian, like right First Order remnants. Who knows? It's building to something very climactic that's going to be on Disney Plus very soon, and I'm very excited for that. And this quote seems to just line up with all of that here. Leslie Headland spoke a little bit about the show The Acolyte, which we noted at the start of this episode is about 100 years before the events of The Phantom Menace, and her quote is as follows: "My question when watching The Phantom Menace was always like, well, how did things get to this point? How did we get to a point where a Sith Lord can infiltrate the Senate and none of the Jedi pick up on it? Like, what went wrong? What are the scenarios that led us to this moment?" Hedlund describes The Acolyte as a mystery thriller set in a prosperous and seemingly peaceful era when the galaxy is still sleek and glistening. "We actually use the term Renaissance or the Age of Enlightenment," she says. "Jedis were not always like ascetic monk-like figures living selflessly and bravely. The Jedi uniforms are gold and white, and it's almost like they would never get dirty. They would never be out and about," Headland says. "The idea is that they could get into these types of uniforms because that's how little they're getting into skirmishes." Big fan of this quote here. I like what she's saying about the mystery thriller aspect of The Acolyte. I feel like that's be a fresh take on something in the Star Wars galaxy that really hasn't been done before in that sense. But the big takeaway I have here is the High Republic, and particularly that, these uniforms, the color are gold and white, right? That if you're keeping up with the High Republic stories like I am, right? So if you read Light of the Jedi, Rising Storm, all the other subsequent High Republic books and comics, right? That is the look of that era. And the fact that they are sticking true to the canon makes me very, very happy. So we also got a new series announcement through this wonderful article. And it's called, or its working title is called Grammar Rodeo. The show takes place during post-Return of the Jedi reconstruction that follows the fall of the Empire, same as The Mandalorian, but its plot is still very secretive. It's created and executive produced by director John Watts and writer Chris Ford, who both made Spider-Man Homecoming for the Marvel Cinematic Universe. A casting notice has called for four children who are around 11 to 12 years old. And apparently inside Lucasfilm, this show is being described as a galactic version of those classic Amblin coming-of-age adventure films of the 1980s. So basically, for your point of reference, that means E.T. E.T. or The Goonies. So that's kind of your frame of reference when it comes to that. I think this is a very interesting show. Idea, the concept of it all makes a lot of sense to me. I hope John and Dave are involved since it takes place in this kind of Mandalorian timeline. It would just make sense to have them involved in some way, shape, or form, right? I have no idea what the show is going to be called at the end of the day, but Grammar Rodeo is a pretty cool working title from now. The article notes how it's a Simpsons reference, which I know I'm a big fan of The Simpsons and love that type of style comedy. And also, I think Watts did a great job with his Spider-Man films. So it'll be Spider-Man Homecoming, Spider-Man Far From Home, and then Spider-Man No Way Home, which just made rounds at the box office over the holiday season. So go check that out if you want to see what he's doing. Or maybe if you think that will influence his work here for the Star Wars stuff. But I know he recently just left the Fantastic Four movie. So for him to be working on this is probably the next project he will do, and then he will go back to, I believe, the next trilogy of Spider-Man films that Marvel and Sony will be doing together. So I'd imagine that would mean he is expected to do the next Spider-Man film probably in about 4 years, I'd say. So if you're a Marvel fan, just kind of keep that in the back of your head as this stuff is going around. So great. After that, they did a little bit of grilling Kathleen Kennedy about what does it mean for the upcoming Star Wars slate of films, right? Because Star Wars is primarily a theatrical experience, and we should still always have Star Wars films in the movie theaters, even though we're having this great episodic serial content on Disney Plus released week to week. So Kathleen Kennedy kind of confirmed that Taika Waititi's Star Wars film is likely to come next. We really don't have any updates about that. So I'm hoping at Star Wars Celebration next Thursday, we get a little bit more details about what this series is, maybe a casting announcement, or at least having Taika on stage to announce that it's happened a bit more clearly, instead of just the Disney Investor Day announcement and then of course the article where they announced that he was doing a Star Wars project. Rogue Squadron, the Patty Jenkins Star Wars spinoff film, is more off than expected. It was supposed to come out, I believe, in the holiday season 2023, so that would have been next year. So that's definitely not happening. and at least it's not happening soonish yet. Maybe that's the next film that happens after Taika's film. Who knows? We'll see if they really stick to a film coming out in 2023 for Star Wars, because if they do, they need to get working on it right away. So Kathy Kennedy also said there isn't anything specific about the Kevin Feige-produced Star Wars film that we keep hearing about a little bit here and there, which is kind of a little contradictory to what writer Michael Waldron said last week, that he's basically knee-deep in writing it at this point. So that, I just found that to be a little interesting about that movie. maybe it's still very much in the early stages. I know Waldron had worked on both Loki and he just wrote Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. So he's a busy guy. Maybe he's just starting the Star Wars project now and working with Kevin, who's also a very busy guy in his own right with all the Marvel stuff going on that they have at Disney. So who knows? Maybe that comes out third. But we also got a update on the famed Rian Johnson trilogy, which is still evidently on the books at Lucasfilm. It's going to happen eventually, but it's not on any timetable or time frame at the moment. He's still doing Knives Out films with Netflix first. And once he's done with that, then I think they will probably reopen up the conversation. But I hope that they do. I love The Last Jedi. I love Ryan's take on Star Wars. And would love to see that continued more, especially if it's something that has nothing to do with the Skywalker saga. I would love to, you know, he definitely pitched them on something to get a trilogy. So I'll take it. I'll take it, everybody. I will always take more Star Wars, whether it be through books, comics, movies, television, you name it. I will take it all and stay here on Force Ghost Conversations, because we'll definitely analyze it from all angles, break it down week to week, and just enjoy it. Enjoy the run that we've got here. This is an amazing time to be a Star Wars fan, especially next week. Like, I'm going to geek out so hard at Celebration and just be immersed in it all and forget about everything in the world and just escape. So the emphasis is definitely already on television right now, and that's influencing the upcoming film slate. Of course, they're not in a rush to get films out at this point. The focus is clearly on TV. But I want to conclude all of my handpicking of cool and interesting things from the Vanity Fair article with one last quote from Kathy Kennedy, who said that she hesitates to use the word trilogies anymore because Star Wars is much more about persistent storytelling. And that's something I've always believed. It doesn't necessarily have to be trilogy, episodic storytelling, beginning, middle, and end. We can look towards new ways to expand upon that notion, whatever that may be, 6-episode series, 5-issue comic arc, right? These are just arbitrary things that hold us into box spaces. And if creativity says otherwise, you know, go do it. Go do something differently. Maybe you want a 3-movie something with an epilogue, 4th movie, or a TV series. This is a wide-ranging Star Wars galaxy with characters coming in and out, different timelines, different time frames, New Republic, Old Republic, High Republic. It's amazing. It's amazing. We got a lot going on for Star Wars right now. There's so much coming down the pipeline, whether it be these the very minimal amount of information that we have on movies, the litany of TV series that we have coming up. I mean, they didn't even mention Lando. I'm sure there's some other Star Wars droid story or something like that. Vision Season 2. I mean, the Star Wars galaxy is very ripe for wonderful storytelling, and there's a lot that could be said about what is coming down the pipeline. And I'm very excited for it. I hope you are as well at home too. I imagine we're going to get a lot of information next week at Celebration. Of course, we'll get the first 2 episodes of Kenobi on Friday, which is astounding. I cannot wait for that personally. So that's basically all that I had for this week's episode. Again, Anthony Brezikin is a wonderful writer. Annie Leibovitz did a fantastic job with her photography that is reeled throughout the course of the online article. I'm sure it's nothing but that in the print form too. Go check out this article for yourselves. Go read it through. There's great other stories and highlights that I didn't pick through for the sake of time and just, you know, because I want you all to go search for it yourself. So they get the clicks, they get the pennies that you purchased for it. This is merely just like to highlight some of the important news and updates from this major article, really. I mean, there's a lot to be said. So there's a lot of big takeaways from all this. We're heading into the Celebration season, so get ready for that, everybody. If you're going to be at Anaheim, look forward to maybe connecting with you, meeting you there. We'll be out and about, so just, you know, haul us down. We'll be glad to chat with you about Star Wars, hopefully get into some of those big panels and be in the room when it happens, so to speak, if you want to quote Hamilton a little bit. But that's it for now, everybody. Be sure to follow us on our social channels, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok. Just search Force Ghost Conversations. That's probably going to be the easiest way to follow us. Subscribe to us as well. We're going to be knee deep in the Kenobi of it all. Once we get back from Celebration, we're going to talk about Celebration. So we're going to have a lot of episodes. We might have to go more than one episode per week. Thankfully, it's the summertime, and my grad school commitments have whittled down to just one class now over the course of the summer. So hopefully I might have some more time to get a few episodes out a week, depending on what's going on here. But who knows? The sky is the limit. There's a lot of fertile ground for wonderful Star Wars discussions, content, news, all that stuff. I'm just thrilled to be a Star Wars fan right now, and hope you are at home too. But with that, everybody, that's all that I had for this week. Thank you so much for listening, and may the Force be with you. Take care.